A new collection of stories looks into the future to find hope and community-based solutions amid the climate crisis. Imagine 2200, Climate Fiction for Future Ancestors, is a short story contest from Grist, an environmental news site. The contest, in its second year, is a project of FIX, Grist's Climate Solutions Lab. I spoke with Tori Stevens, Climate Fiction Creative Manager, about this new collection. How did this contest come about, and what's the idea behind it?
I work at Grist Magazine, but I work on a specific team called FIX, which is Grist's Solutions Lab. We're looking for stories about the climate solutions, but really the people behind those solutions. So sometimes we gather those folks to have really interesting and dynamic conversations. And right when the pandemic was getting started, we had an event that was going to take place in the woods. We quickly switched to Zoom because of the pandemic. And the facilitator, two of them that we work with, one had a background in like visioning and how to, you know, get people to talk and think and explore things that are outside of their daily scope. And then the other gentleman had a background in creating role-playing games and said, you can use role-playing games as a way to do a visioning quest. He said, how cool would it be to bring four people onto a Zoom and there's a timeline where they have to get from now to 2200 and everything be clean, green, and just by this 180-year mark. And it's their choice as to how they play this game and role play it. The folks we brought together, because they come from a cross-section of America that's like very diverse, you know, queer folks, disabled folks, you know, BIPOC individuals, and then a variety of people from different parts of the climate sector. And so they went on their quest. And what we found was a lot of the things that old world environmentalists would call kind of adjacent to climate, you know, is center, you know, so showing up for folks with disabilities, calling out anti-Blackness and standing up for Black folk. We held in high regard, like indigenous wisdom and knowledge and things that could come to the table that could be a climate solution that's not like a tech focused solution. You know, so what we noticed is like, wow, it'd be really interesting to situate a climate fiction contest that has more than just the focus of climate. It also has these other things at the table, like, you know, caring for immigrants. I went back to the drawing board with a few people, and we decided that Imagine 2200 is going to be a little bit different in its call to action, in that it's going to be about climate solutions and hope, but it's also going to be about justice and intersectionality and connecting with our allies in other movements that we care about.
This year's first place winner is The Metamorphosis of Marie Martin by Nadine Tomlinson. And it's about a Jamaican woman who, with her sister, fishes for parrotfish, which are important to the health of coral reefs. And her young daughter doesn't want her to do it.
And your auntie and me not going to prison, so stop worry. We're not hurting anybody, baby. We're trying to survive. Listen, sometimes you have to do things that people say are wrong for a good cause. She kissed her forehead. You are my good cause.
That's a clip from the audio version read by Bethany Harris. But Marie Martin changes her mind. Can you say a little bit more about how that happens in the story and the takeaway for readers or listeners?
I love this story. This was a beautiful story that shows there's not one way to get to the end of this crisis that we're in, if you could imagine it. And you have to hear from frontline folks. So the story is set in Jamaica, but the writer is also from Jamaica. And the story is done in Jamaican patois. The idea being that the government has decided that you can't fish these important fish because they have like they're important to the coral reef, but they're also important to the ecosystem. But what they didn't account for is the humans, right? The folks that rely on these fish to feed themselves. So it's showing a glaring problem that can happen is when you don't approach and talk to frontline communities, you don't have solutions that include them. It might have been a good solution for the protection of the coral. It's a good solution for the protection of that species of fish. But you're forgetting like we do all these things, not just, we do it all for the earth, the animals, and humans. And I don't think you can kind of like, you have to balance that. And so it's important to talk to frontline communities. And I think that's like the really big lesson in this story. There was a disagreement between the mother and the daughter in the story. And I think through what happens in the story, the daughter learns, and so doesn't the mother. They both see a different vantage point, you know, a different point of view that they didn't have.
Yeah, at the end of the story, after her metamorphosis, we won't say what that is, she wants to tell her family what she's learned.
She wished that she could tell them that the sea gives more than she takes, that what was lost is found, that in her previous life, she took more than she gave. But everything is balanced now because she gave the biggest gift of her entire existence, past and present.
Who is the intended audience for these stories? Because the title is Imagine 2200, Climate Fiction for Future Ancestors. Who are the future ancestors?
Yeah, I love that name. I didn't think of it. We did like a collective brainstorm and that was the best one that I really felt fit what we're trying to do with this. The future ancestors are us, for sure, but also the folks that come after us as well, our children, our children's children, not even my children, but just people as well. Yeah, so it's really like, write a story about a world that you want to live in. Sometimes people label our stories as utopian. I shy away from that, even though I'm fine with people submitting stories that are utopian and some that envision a utopian society of come close to winning or have won. But I would say they're more hopeful stories, even some that have like pretty bitter endings. You know, in the end, they have a hopeful outlook and approach.
Yeah, there's an emphasis on hope. And I had read something that you had written about how there's a lot of dystopian climate fiction and that's scary and looking at the worst case scenario. And these stories are different from that.
Yeah, for sure. I think dystopian stories have like a, you know, totally like appropriate for climate fiction. It's really scary. And I'm not going to downplay the like the situation we're in. It's about our humanity. Are we going to survive this thing? I really think that everything is at stake here. But I think that we as a society are addicted to the dystopian or the grim dark, you know, but the type of hope I'm looking for are like realistic hope on how we can get out of the climate crisis in a just way. Where are those stories? Why aren't they showing up? And then outside of climate fiction, just I would challenge story writers, screenwriters, Hollywood, and others who write and tell stories to tell more stories that talk about the climate crisis. Because like if I asked you, name your top five books that you've read in the past year, and then like say like your top five TV shows series that you binged watched. And I asked you like, you know, is there a climate plot at the center of any of those, you know, Breaking Bad or, you know, some of the other stories that are TV shows that are popular now, or even some books that are like kind of like in the number top 10 best sellers book list. It's like climate is being erased from the stories. Like where's the climate stories when this is the biggest thing that's happening in our world? Yeah, I'm just making a call for more of that. And hopefully I would want them to be hopeful.
That was Tori Stevens, climate fiction creative manager for Fix, Grist's Climate Lab. There's a link to all three winning short stories and the nine finalists from this year's Imagine 2200 Climate Fiction for Future Ancestors contest with audio and illustrations at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.